In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have with me Eleanor McCullen. What happened in 1973, 41 years ago? What happened was the most protected part of a woman, her womb, was completely brought to the most unprotected part. It was Roe versus Wade, and we have been killing children for 41 years legally. Legally. I know it's always happened, but now it's legal. And that's the saddest thing in the world, because the child is the most unprotected of all people, and yet this child within the womb cannot fight for herself or himself, and it's very sad. They say 56 million. We've been talking about 56 million for about 9 years. You know, this is a million a year are taken. A million children a year, and a million women are exploited each year. Because why? Because of Roe versus Wade. And I have with me Eleanor McCullen, and she's a sidewalk counselor. She's been doing this for 14 years, and she's been out there bringing them peace, love, and whatever. Tell us what your
hope, help, and love. That's my theme song, Father. Hello to everybody. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad to be here with Father. And, yeah, I know, Father, it's sad, and underline sad 100 times. We just don't understand how we're a civilization and that we're taking our children from the womb. It just goes beyond all of our understanding. So we're doing the best we can, and as upset as we get sometimes, Father, we can't afford that luxury. Maybe for 5, 10 minutes or an hour, we're upset, we can't understand it, but then we have to keep going. We have to speak for the unborn child. The unborn child has no voice. And, you know, we talk about the poor. Of course we love the poor, but the poorest of the poor, the most marginalized, the most fragile, is the child in the womb. And Jesus is in the womb. When I talk to women, I see Jesus in the woman, and then I see Jesus in the womb. And that's what actually makes me sad. Many times I get in my car and I'm driving home and I'm crying, and I don't know these people, so why am I crying? Why do I care? And the Lord gives me a caring for people, a true caring, a deep caring. But then I also see that he's sad. We have a heartbroken God. Our God is heartbroken, and I see Jesus in the woman, and I see Jesus in the womb, and I guess that's what keeps me going. And everybody that's listening, we have to keep going with prayer, with sacrifice, with everything that you could think of to do to help this cause, to fight against abortion. And if you've never done anything yet, it's never too late to jump in. I was late jumping in. It was 14 years ago, and look how old I am, and I never did anything. And when I go to speak at colleges now or wherever I'm going, I say, how many people are pro-life? And every hand goes up, and they have like a little proud smile on their face. But then I push them down when I say, well, how many are doing anything? And no one's doing anything. I guess they think everybody else is doing something. And you had said to me, Father, one time, I said, they are doing it. And you said to me, Eleanor, you are they. So I didn't want to be they. I wanted somebody else to be doing it, whether it's a baby shower, whether it's praying outside of an abortion mill, whether it's knitting some baby blankets like Kathy does, or some hats like Eleanor. I mean, if you call Father between the two of us, we will tell you how you can get involved. And for people that are in nursing homes right now that are listening, your prayer is going to break open this evil of abortion. So don't underestimate, don't undervalue your prayers. The prayers are powerful. So we can't afford to get frustrated, or we can't give up. See, that's the thing. faith. We have to have faith, and the Lord is leading us to fight evil. And the Lord loves our faith. He's saying, keep going. He understands. He has a plan. We don't know what it is, but He loves when we trust Him and that we don't give up. We never give up. That is, whatever you're doing, we're talking about the evil of abortion, but whatever you're doing, you know, you just can't give up. Father always says, you're just about to turn a corner, whatever you're going through right now. You just keep going. The Lord's holding your hand. He's loving you, and He's leading you, and He's pouring grace upon you. So never give up. And for all the people that are doing work in the pro-life movement, we say thank you for the people that came out to the vigil for 40 Days for Life. Thank you for all of your coming out. It was powerful to see 10 or 12 people standing in front of Planned Parenthood, just praying. I mean, that's powerful witness. I can't explain how powerful it is. You just have to do it. And I know 40 Days for Life is over, but I think we should have 400 Days for Life. Rita Russo did a beautiful job. Just come out. It's not too late. The Lord's calling you to do something for the unborn child. First for the mother. You know how I feel, Father. I care first for the mother and the father, because they are there in front of me. They are about to destroy their child. They are a byproduct of our society. They are scared. They are lonely. I see them right in front of me, so I have to concentrate on the mother and father. And of course the baby, but first the mother and father. So for all who are listening, just keep going, that, and we'll fight this evil with the Lord, and we'll keep praying, and just don't give up. That's the most important thing. It's hard, because the people that have done pro-life work for so long, we all get weary. And I don't know where it says it in the Bible, Lord, Father, but it says that you can't afford to get weary. You can't, whatever it is, you can't afford that luxury. And so that's our prayer, Lord. Just break open the evil of abortion. Keep us with courage so that we can go forth and that we can speak for the unborn child. I'll just tell you something that happened, Father. You know, it's a simple little thing. You know, Mother Teresa said, do little things with great love. And we all said, yeah, we know that. But what can we do? What does she mean? Little things. How about a smile? A smile is a little thing. I think everybody can smile. And you know what? It's an amazing medicine. And the Lord always puts somebody in your path that needs a smile. And I'm just inviting you all to try it, and I'm going to give you an example. You'd be surprised, even if you don't feel like smiling, you just say, you smile, and you say hi or hello. You know, it counts for $1 million with somebody that really needs it. And the story, well, the one that just happened pretty recently, it's about my friend Mary, and about 6 months ago, she takes the bus, and she met a woman, and Mary said, well, I just smiled, and I said, hello. So that was probably the first week. They take the bus maybe 3 times a week, and then, you know, the next week, hello, how have you been? How was your week? And then by the third week, well, what do you do? Well, Mary said, I'm a sidewalk counselor. I try to talk to women and men who are contemplating abortion. Oh, isn't that nice? And, you know, weeks went by. Well, that little smile, that little hello about 6 months ago led this woman that got on the bus last week. She met Mary, and she said, you told me what you do, and I have to tell you that my daughter is expecting a baby, and she is contemplating abortion. What can you do? So from that little smile on the bus, which didn't seem to amount to much, the Lord used it in a mighty way. Of course, Mary said, we can help you. Her name, the young lady's name, is Teresa. And Mary turned her over to me because I've been working with her now to see the miracle in her womb, to see that it's a miracle that the Lord is giving her, and to give her courage to bring forth this baby with a bunch of help. She won't be abandoned. She won't be alone. We're going to help her. We went to pregnancy help, and Teresa saw the ultrasound. Beautiful, beautiful pictures. Honestly, honestly, Father, I wish I could call you and get you in the car and bring you over when I'm doing this, because I don't know whether you've ever seen an ultrasound, and I have all the blessings to see it, and tears came to our eyes, and the woman, upon seeing the ultrasound at pregnancy help, Teresa said, oh, she said, no, she said, I'll take your help. She said, I will take your help. I need a place to stay, so we're checking out a few places. Friends of the Unborn is excellent. So we're checking out some places, but I know that she's going to keep that. Oh, she found out it was a baby girl, and she's thrilled. And so just a smile. And so that's a kind of a big answer to a smile. But things happen. You know, when you say to the Lord, sometimes, Father, you say, put somebody in my path that I can bless. And he does. He loves that invitation. And not only, and this story is going to go on, because she wants me to be part of her life and marry and be there when the baby's born, and heavens knows what's happened. So one little thing, it's amazing what the Lord will do. When we ask for, we say, help us to find somebody that needs to be blessed today. And he says, I will, and I'm going to run with it and open door after door after door after door. So that's a little story of something that we could all do, and then trust the Lord that you may not see the fruits like we saw this fruit that I just reported in today, but that's okay. The Lord uses it in some way. And as you said, Father, I think you said, the seen is transitory. The unseen is eternal. So, and then, of course, you know my story of the smile, the person that changed their mind years ago when she had just a big fight with her boyfriend, and she was standing outside of Planned Parenthood, and I just said, good morning. I didn't say anything else. And she said, my voice, the warmth of my voice, I assumed I smiled, the smile just warmed her heart. And anybody can do it. It's not my voice or my smile. But she said she had just been through such a hard morning that it just felt warm and welcoming. And she then went on to have her son. And so it just started with a smile. I really, she said, I would go with you anywhere, because she needed some warmth. She needed somebody to say hello or smile. And you know, we all do, Father. We all have things going on. No one escapes. Everybody has something going on in their life. Sometimes they just keep it secret, and maybe sometimes not, but they always need somebody that says hello or cares. You don't have to take it even past that. So that's my little invitation this morning. Do little things, like Mother Teresa said. We don't have to set the world on fire and do these big, big things. We just have to do little things with love.
People say, you know, why is there so much violence? They ask me, why is there so much violence in Chicago and in the Middle East? Why? Well, you see, we are violent in the womb, and what we sow, we reap. The violence that's been around in the last 41 years has increased and increased and increased. And I say, you know why? Because we have been violent in the womb. And what else do we expect? What else do we expect? If you can say to me, this child is not a child, then I can say to you, you are not a person, and I can do what I want to you. This is very sad. When I was growing up, the bad thing that we had in school was if we chewed gum, G-U-M. Now, it's not G-U-M, it's G-U-N-S. It's guns. It's knives. And you see, it's so violent. Why? Because we have been so violent in the womb. So violent. And no one, we don't hear about it enough. I have Eleanor doing this every other Monday or every third Monday, because we have to hear about it. Why aren't you coming out to Planned Parenthood. You say, I'm too busy. Well, you know what? We're all too busy. But we need people out there. You see, just the witness of people out there, the people change their minds, that we'll never know until we get to God. Mm-hmm. Just being out there causes people to change their minds. Just being out there. And who's going to be out there? Like who's going to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ to the unborn child and to the woman, the poor woman? I can only say the poor woman, because she's been told it's the product of conception. She's been told lies. And yet, in her inner being, she knows she's having a baby. In her inner being, her body has been changing. And when you kill that child, what happens is that your body knows that you killed that child, and you have to deal with it. Thank God there's forgiveness. Thank God there's the blood of Jesus. Thank God that God forgives us. Thank God, thank God. But you see, we don't want to head for forgiveness. We want to head for the woman have the baby. And no one has ever regretted having the baby. That's real, but so many people have regretted having the abortion. I do not know one person who has regretted having the baby of an unplanned pregnancy. But, oh my gosh, the women that have gone through abortion, they are the ones that suffer. They are the ones that suffer. They are the ones that suffer.
That's very true, Father. The women do suffer, and also men suffer. I was listening yesterday, and there is that group of people called the Women Coming Out, Silent No More, but now the men are coming out, and they're silent no more. And they talk about that they know they finally have gone to confession or confessed their sins to a minister, and they know God forgave them, these men were saying, but they can't forgive themselves. And the man, actually, it was on the radio, and he was crying when he thought about what he did 15 years ago. How could he do that? Men are, the women are nurturers. When a woman is pregnant, she's already nurturing that baby in her womb. There's a bond. A woman and a baby are bonding already right from the beginning, the first 2 weeks, right from the beginning. As soon as she knows, it's like a woman thing. You can't deny that. People can deny it. Men and women are the same and all that. They're not the same. Women are nurturers, and they bond with that baby. And when that baby is lifted out of the womb, the woman has lost, she has a big, big, big hole in her heart, and she never gets over it. She never gets over it. That is absolutely true. And the men don't get over it. Now, the men, he said, I'm a protector. Men protect. And he said that he didn't protect his child. He told the woman, actually, he was having an affair, and he got pregnant with the mistress, and he said, you know, I can't do this. And so he paid the money, and he drove her and had the abortion. And he said, I could have handled it better, and I didn't. I just let that child down. I let another human being die because of what I got myself into. So men are coming out. And as I have said before, Father, there are so many more that should come out, and it would even be powerful if thousands and thousands came out, and they're not coming out. They're coming out slowly because it's something they're ashamed of. But so many people have been involved. If everybody came out and said, yes, I regret my abortion, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, it's powerful. So I don't think we're quite there yet, but at least the men are coming out, and that's a good thing. I guess sometimes, Father, I say, you know, more, but then I say, thank you, Jesus. The men are coming out saying silent no more, and I know some of the two prisons are addressing the idea of men in prison that have been affected by abortion, and that's been a big silent thing. So that's changing. So things are changing, Father. And I guess because we're human, we want everything like yesterday. But the Lord always moves slowly. He knows exactly what he's doing. And things are happening. So I think at this time I will say thank you. Praise the Lord for things that are happening. One thing, Father, I would like to say, sometimes people ask, you know, how did you, you know, you were the one that encouraged me, Father, to become a voice of the unborn child and to care about the women. But also the first time I started, I don't know whether I ever shared it, but I'll share it quickly. I was always a prayer person for about 6 months. And then one day, one of our counselors became ill. This was 14 years ago, and things weren't quite as efficient, I guess, in those days. And she asked me if I could take over. So, I said, yes, but I said yes. I guess that was the important part. I said yes. I could have said, I'm afraid. I don't think so. I don't know what to do, which was all true. But I said yes. So I was standing outside in January 14 years ago, and a couple came along, and they didn't want any information. And so they did go in. But when the husband came out, they were married. And this is what we do. We empower and we educate. First, we educate. So I said, well, you know, there's something. I wish I could do something. No, you can't do anything. I said, oh, well, do you happen to know when the heart starts to beat? Oh, I don't know, 3 months? No. I said, the heart starts to beat at 21 days. I said, how about the brain waves starting to function? 6 months? He was bored. And I said, no, how about 10 weeks? And we talked about DNA. Well, within about 5 minutes, I was educating kind of indirectly. And he said, really? He said, I had no idea this was happening. I thought it was like a tissue, a little nothing. I said, no, it's filled with cells, and it's not just a tissue. It's a human being. We call that a fetus. So he said, well, I'll go in and get her. I know, I said, go get her. And so after he went in, I thought, okay, I did my job. That was good. And guess what, Father? Within 5 minutes, they're both standing there. I can picture it. He said, here she is. So I said, oh, my gosh, here she is. What do I do? I had no idea. Nobody said, well, what do you do? So I said, well, we'll go to my house. I mean, I took them. They're strangers, but we went to my house. And I gave them milk. I gave her milk. And I happened to have some chocolate chip cookies. So, and I didn't know what to do. They were sitting in my living room. My heart was pounding. I thought, I don't know what to do with them. And so I called, in those days, I called Women's Concern, John Enzer, beautiful Holy Spirit-filled man who was running Women's Concern. I explained it, and he said, bring them over immediately, which I did. I drove from Newton to Dorchester. And we did the ultrasound that day, and John Enzer, beautiful pastor, he talked to them. Well, anyway, their little baby boy is 13 now, and that's how I started, because then they said, oh, wow, you did that on your first day, then I guess you're going to have to, you'll be a counselor. So that was my first day. People do ask me about that. And, of course, they say, you took them to your home. You didn't know them, but you know what? When you're working for the Lord, you feel protected, and you just trust Him that everything's going to be all right. And it was. I still keep in touch. I still receive a little picture every Christmas in the Christmas card saying thank you. And, of course, as I say, he's about 13 years old now. So that just started out with an education, just trying to tell people. People don't know, Father, what goes on in their bodies. And he was very excited when I started to explain. So that's what I try to do. Educate, build up trust, smile, care. Because when a woman and man come, nobody really does care about them. It's legal, fine. You want to finish school? Go in and have the abortion. Your father, you want to live at home, right? And your father said, don't come home. So nobody really cares if you're going for an abortion. The only time they care is if you come home and say, guess what, I didn't have the abortion. They say, what, you didn't have the abortion? How are you going to finish school? Well, we say you can finish school you can have that job and you can also have your baby son. So we educate and we empower. And then we call on for more people to come out and say, yes, I do suffer from abortion. And then we talk about forgiveness. We talk about mercy. And the people that do come out, Father, and they say, I have had an abortion and I regret it. That's healing for them. They feel like they're helping fight against the abortion and telling people, so they feel so much better. They get blessed when they come out and they say, I regret having my abortion.
Maybe you have had an abortion. I want you to know that there's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. There's forgiveness through the power of the cross. There's forgiveness. And the Lord forgives you if you ask forgiveness. I want to invite people to Days of Glory between November 6th and the 9th. And for information, it's daysofglory.org. Daysofglory.org. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of glory and full of grace. Let me just say this to you, that Jesus Christ loves you, that he has a plan for your life, and you need to give your life to him. How do I do it? You say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my whole life to you. I've made a mess of it, but now I give you my life. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.